Hold on to your beer, it's building the game.
Welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, September 29th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 122. My name is Rob. Sitting right there is Jason, still in the crazy booth.
I'm shocked. That was one of the best intros you've ever done.
Yeah.
You got the date right, the episode right.
Focused, I'm cheerful, I'm upbeat, I'm like bouncing around. It's good.
It's probably because we're still drinking beer in
beer.
This episode.
Yeah, we haven't finished our beer from the last episode yet, and it's pretty good. I like beer. Beer is delicious.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Stuff.
What's new?
Not much.
No?
Obviously, as we talked before, Grand Con already happened, but I've been spending a lot of time lately not playing games and getting ready for Grand Con.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, trying to get some stuff done for that. I got War Stories prototype, so
cool.
I will have that there. So,
cool.
So, if you're hearing this now and you didn't play it, you missed your chance.
Yeah. Sorry. Sucks to be you guys.
Yeah. I need to get a couple four-player play tests in.
Yeah.
And it's a quick enough game that I don't feel bad trying to pressure people into it. So, also really hope that I was able to test Sandbox Showdown because I really need to get some play time of that in.
Well, I imagine we'll have a few hours with nothing to do sitting at that table.
Maybe. I don't know how big the table is. Maybe
I don't know
we'll
either.
Have room to play Sandbox Showdown, but
I guess we'll find out.
So
I guess we did find out, didn't we?
Yeah, we know.
We are know already.
So next week is going to be our big Grand Con recap.
Right.
Super sorry to everybody that it's so late, but just with the way recording fell, we had to record.
Right.
Our schedule is our schedule. We can't, skip weeks and not record.
Right.
And
so sorry about that.
It's tough. At Gen Con, we're able to do the big live show and then put that up on Sunday. At Grand Con, that schedule just didn't work out for that this year because we have a booth. So we'll think about that next year. We'll see how it goes.
See how it goes this year. Next year, we might not get a table. We might just kind of do it the way we do Gen Con and just kind of freewheel it.
And then if that's the case, hey, maybe we'll do a live show. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's a little close after Gen Con, but there's enough people there that I think a live show would be fun.
Yeah, like last year, live show wasn't really practical because I don't think the audience would have been there. I mean, actually, come to think of it, there might have been an even bigger audience because I think there was fewer choices. Grand Con, just because Gen Con is so huge, people get so spread out.
That's true.
But next year, if we'll see how this year goes, what the turnout is, and what kind of fans we see. If all goes well, then maybe we'll do a live show next year.
Hopefully I sold a lot of copies of Water Balloon Wash.
I really hope so, man.
I mean, honestly, if I sold 20 copies, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, the plan was to sell them for 15 for one.
Mm-hmm.
Any amount over one is $10 a piece. So,
there's a
store there from Zealand, that I'm going to try and hit up to see if I can get some wholesale copies
too. Cool. Great. Right on.
Just because, if I could pay for my trip with this, that would be pretty sweet.
That'd be great,
And I only need to sell 20, 30 copies to do that, obviously. Yeah. So
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I hope that went well. I mean, I'm sure it went well.
It'd be great if it did.
Right.
Well, there's less options, right? So they're more likely to buy my game.
There you go.
And it's a smaller convention. I think people bring more kids to that.
Yeah,
so. That should help my sales a bit.
I hope so. Yeah, cool.
What have you been playing? I know you've been playing some stuff.
Yeah. Last week I talked about what my wife and I played at the cabin. Last weekend we went and spent the night with some friends at their place, and we played several games. We played Takenoko. We introduced them to that, and they loved that. Takenoko is a great game. You should try it sometime. And we played Dominion. They also had never played Dominion before, and so we introduced them to that, and that went really well. They loved that because Dominion is a great game. It's like one of those things where we're playing with these friends, and one of them is like he's just kind of grumpy through the first half of the game, and because he's not getting the combos that are so great about Dominion, you know? And
best thing about that game is
right.
the combos.
And the other three of us are just like laying down like 12 cards on a turn and it's feeling great. And he's like watching this happen and like, what's going on? This isn't working. What's this game is broken. And I kind of said, well, you know, dude, if you're not buying the cards right, if you're not buying the right cards, you're not going to be able to pull off the combos.
Right.
And then that clicked for him. And I think two turns later, he had some giant, huge combo. And he was like, oh man, this is the greatest game ever. And as soon as we finished it, we're starting to stack the cards back up. He's like, I'd really like to just play this again right now. You know, that's always a great sign, right? Yeah. When you show somebody a game and it's over and they say, I just want to play this again immediately.
And a lot of times with my wife and I, we'll play two or three games of Dominion in a row.
Because you can play, especially with two, it plays really fast.
Two players, it's insane. Like,
yeah.
And
like 20 minutes.
We trust each other. Nobody's cheating, right?
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
We
right.
don't even pay attention to what the other people are doing.
Oh, really?
I just pay attention if they're buying stuff. But like, I mean, I can take a turn and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just boom, 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 boom,
see,
boom.
We're in the habit of announcing what we're doing. You know, I feel like that's good etiquette
when
playing Dominion.
I'll say, gonna buy this. But like a lot of times you're just looking at your hand, like, what am I gonna play?
Mm-hmm. You say, I'm gonna play this village, and then I'm gonna play this market, and then I'm gonna discard two to draw. You know, so we are in the habit of stating what our actions are as we're doing them because, I mean, you don't have to. I don't know if that's even in the rules, but I feel like that's polite, you know. With any kind of a game like that, it's polite to announce what your actions are.
Is Dominion the one that cares what order you put stuff in your discard?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Yeah.
And that can be a little tricky to get used to. And in fact, even in the basic version of the game, like the you know the simple version of the game that you play, it's not even really necessary.
Right.
It's only when you get other cards in there that's important. But it's a good habit to get
into. That's something about Dominion I honestly do not remember. So
really?
If I have to play it again, I'll have to... I mean, I remember that was a rule, but I don't remember what the order is.
Well, just
I
as think... you play them, as you put them down, you have to put them in your discard. In that
okay,
order.
Right. Yeah.
That's all.
Because you can't stack them so that people can't see them or get to them, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Unless you're discarding a bunch of things from your hand, then you just put them down. But we also played Quicksilver, the airship racing game.
Yeah.
And that went over really well. It took a little bit of time. I mean, I feel like the first half of that game can be kind of slow, depending on where you place your starting line. So that makes a huge difference on where you start, you know, the checkered line to start and end. But that was a lot of fun. That was actually the first time we've played a four-player game of that. We'd only ever played two- and three-player versions of that.
Okay. And I know you had that bad experience the one time with three, right?
But that's because I totally biffed on the catch-up mechanic in that. And in fact, we totally forgot it this time, too.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. I forgot that you complained, and then we're like, wait.
Whoops. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Rules is rules.
Right. So we remember that on the first checkpoint in this game, and then totally forgot about it in the second and third checkpoints this time. So, but whatever. We still did fine. So that's a lot of fun. I like that game. I cannot imagine playing that with six players. I mean, it's chaotic enough with four, but with six players, and then you'd have six obstacles or things out there in play. That would be really rough. Yeah. So I want to do that at some point because I just to experience how crazy it could be.
Just
because
it's probably nuts.
Yeah. So, but it was super fun. I got shot down. I was the only person who got shot down, and that was a real bummer. But
so is it player elimination when you get shot down?
You can play it that way, but the base rules, no. It's just, you take your next turn to stand back up, and then your next turn you can go.
That's cool.
So yeah,
that's a lot better.
Right. So if you want to play hardcore...
Fun.
Yeah. If you want to play hardcore, you can play player elimination, but that's so cool. What else did we play? We played Drunk Quest. finally got around to playing Drunk Quest. And I think it was less fun this time, though, because we were already pretty drunk when we started playing Drunk Quest.
Right.
So Drunk Quest is a great game to start playing when you are sober and you want to get drunk.
Right.
But when you are already drunk and you start playing Drunk Quest, it's maybe the wrong choice to make. Maybe the wrong choice, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And that dice game that I pitched a couple of weeks ago, I made a quick proto of that.
Avalanche.
Well, I never announced on the show what the theme was.
It's called Avalanche now.
Yeah, right.
Spoiler alert.
So the idea is that it's called Avalanche, and your climber's trying to plan your route up to the top of the mountain. So whatever, just basic, not a big deal. Anyway, so I prototyped that, and we played one round of that while we were drunk, and it didn't go very well. But I think it's basically because we were drunk and having a hard time keeping track of what was going on. So I feel great, though. I've played a lot of games lately, and it's wonderful.
I'm super jealous, dude.
Really happy about that.
So jelly. It's not cool.
You're gelling?
No, jelly. That's how people say jealous. That's how the hipster kids, the millennials, they say jealous. I'm so jelly.
I think you're lying.
I'm totes jelly. No, dude, seriously. Or they say gel. Totes gel. No, I think it's totes jelly. I'm pretty sure.
So hope you're wrong.
If you're a millennial who's hip, who listens to this show... Tell me if you've heard the term totes jelly before. I'm pretty sure I've
heard totes, but I've never heard jelly. I hope you're wrong. If you're right, I've lost a lot of respect for
Rob is a grumpy old man. Newsflash. Yeah,
the youngest curmudgeon on the planet.
Totes.
Don't even get me started.
You know what word I still use that I think is funny, and I'm teaching it to my kid, is dude. I still say dude a lot.
Yeah.
And you still say dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Dude.
I realize that a lot of times that's our generation, right?
Like, yeah, that's our thing.
People
yeah.
that grew up in our time, like who graduated dude. Around the time we do, we say dude.
Dude.
So
seriously, dude.
And I still say it, and I'm comfortable with it. I like
dude. Dude is a good word.
So
dude.
Yeah. I mean, so it's so funny because so many times with my son Josiah, he's 2.5, I'll be like, love you, dude. He's like, love you, dude. Like, it's just so cute. Like,
that's great.
He just uses dude in sure, like his speech now. Should.
You know what I hate? So, I hate whatev or whatevs.
Whatevs, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I admit that sometimes I say it ironically, just to sound worst. Like a jerk. Like, with Will, a lot of times I'll say that. Whatevs.
Christine's sisters say whatevs all the time, and every now and then.
But they mean it. They say it
right,
not ironically.
Right, yeah, yeah. And every now and then, Christine will say it to me. And like not even realize that she just did that because she just picks it up from her sisters. And every time I freak out on her because I hate it so much.
I used to play WoW with this girl who would, she was awesome. She would talk and text speak.
Oh.
No, but it was funny, right?
Yeah.
Because like she would say things like LOL. instead of laughing, she would just say.
She would say LOL.
LOL.
She would say WTF.
Yeah.
Also she would say ROF.
But that cracked me up. Like, yeah, that cracked me up. And, like, other people of us in the guild would start to say that stuff out loud because, like, you'd start to, you know, as if you're around somebody that talks a certain way, you start talking a certain way.
You pick things up. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a new word that I say, and I don't remember what it is.
You should probably stop using it because I'm sure it's awful.
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember. There's a word I've noticed that I use more now.
Yeah.
I say fantastic. I like the word fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. I actually stole that from Ocean's 11, one of my favorite movies, when Brad Pitt is negotiating with the dude they're stealing from. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. He's like, fantastic. And I just like the way he says that because it's like, that's just a funny thing to say. Like, all right, we've got a deal. He's like, fantastic. Okay. I love that. So I found myself saying fantastic. Sometimes I say fantabulous because it's such a stupid word.
Fantabuloso.
Fantabuloso.
That's the fake Spanish version of Fantabulous.
No, that's legit. Cowabunga, dude.
All right. Anyway, so you haven't been playing anything else?
No. I wish I had. I mean, I've still been playing the crap out of Hearthstone.
Oh, jeez. Hearthstone.
Hey, I'm curious. I had some listeners say to me they were excited about the fact we were going to talk about Hearthstone, and then I never heard back on what they thought. Maybe they haven't listened to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious because I did some bashing. I mean,
you did some Hearthstone bashing.
Yeah, well, on our last episode or two episodes ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting because I do very much enjoy the game, but I very much hate the game. I swear a lot when I play the game because I still swear that the game is unbalanced.
Yeah.
Speaking of games that are becoming unbalanced and not fun, Marvel Dice Masters, man. We need to get that next set out, because until that next set comes out, I'm really not having fun playing that game right now.
Really?
So, yeah.
Too bad.
So.
Too bad.
I saw some of the figs in the new set, though. Oh, gosh, I said figs. Sorry.
Figs. Dice.
People say cards. Dice, yeah. I saw some of the dice in the new set, and they look cool. Kitty Pryde basically completely nerfs Black Widow.
Oh, good.
And she comes in the starter set.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Spend a mask. Target cannot attack this turn.
Oh.
Not stops attacking. Just cannot attack.
Wow.
Because right now, good. Distraction says, I stop attacking, right?
Yeah.
So like, oh, I'm attacking? No, you're not. Which is super powerful because she says, I'm attacking, take 2 damage. And she says, just kidding, I'm not attacking.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that again next turn.
Yeah.
But Kitty Pryde's like, no. Can Why don't you do just that? Stand there? Just stand there and shut up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I spent too much money on that. See, that's what I do. You know, I get into a collectible game like that. I spend too much money on it, and then I just...
Are you even going to keep playing? Are you going to come to the next tournament?
I'll come to the next tournament.
You should come to the next tournament. Bash some faces.
Because I spent some money on it, so...
Since people playing at the next tournament, like, some of the people... There are people who haven't played before, and I feel like we'll probably be able to beat them.
Yeah, just...
I could be wrong, but...
Dance all over them. Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
you feel
I
good, right?
Yeah. If I can beat at least one person, that would be nice.
But what worries me is... the random matchups in round one, getting matched up against the other dude who wins a lot, like means one of us isn't going to win a prize. And I know, like, oh, that sounds petty because I win the prize every time. But yeah, I like winning the prize. I like the prizes.
That's why you're playing, fun, right? So. It's kind of the point, yeah.
I mean, I play for the prizes because I like them.
Right.
And they're cool.
Right. I mean, it's fun to play the game, but
yeah,
that's why you go to that place at that time.
To play the game. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So anyways, hey, let's talk about the feature of the week.
Okay.
The feature of the week this week is all right. Thank you to Kick the Table. For responding very fast to my tweet. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
They're the first ones too. So we're going to talk about their things. I think it's good. How do you know what to cut from a game? That's one of the hardest things, right?
That's tough. Yeah.
You and I have faced that before with each other, where one of us loves a mechanic and another one does not love a mechanic. And
right.
In one of each other's games, like, you're like, Jason, you got to cut that. And I'm like, no, dude, it's brilliant. And you're like, no, you got to cut that. I'm like, no, it's so awesome. And you're like, no, really, it sucks.
Yeah.
And then I show it to other people and they're like, no, dude, it's bad. And I'm like, yeah. But I don't want to cut it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's really easy to get attached. If you've had the same situations
sure.
before where I've told you
sure.
cut this and you're like, no.
Yeah.
And it's because as the designer,
mm-hmm.
cutting stuff is one of the hardest things you can do.
It's tough because you get attached right. to things. It's your little baby.
So how do you cut something?
Oh man. Well, you know, I'm a big advocate for simplicity, right? And so I think if you're at a point where you're how do you even get to this? I think about what is the focus of the game? You know, what is the main focus or the main push of the game? All right. Be that in Innkeepers, build your structure. In Tea Party, it's anything that gets in the way of me drawing meeples and making a choice. Okay. If I'm going back to, trying to think of other games to use as an example.
I mean, kind of what you're saying to me is the reason that Lose a Turn is the worst
is
the worst thing
sure.
ever. By the way, I noticed you have that in Card Game Simulator, and I was like, yep, that seems appropriate.
And but there's a card that directly it says you're a jerk for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not to get too off track. So you need to make sure that you are aware and understanding of what the main thrust or the main purpose and goal of your game is, what's the core of that game, and then you need to think about if a feature of your game does not directly serve that goal, then there's probably no place for it. And that's painful, that's hurtful. Like okay, like this Avalanche Dice game, right? So the point of the game in theory is that you're rolling the dice and you're trying to get tiles. You know, and you want to get the tiles together to get a to make a route to up to the top of the mountain, and kind of the fun twist of the game was that you have this special action die, which I was calling the Avalanche die, that when you roll it allows you to do special actions to change what the goals are. But that was the worst part of the game when we were playtesting. Now, of course, that was only one playtest while we were drunk. You know,
right?
So maybe that wasn't a good measure. But after playing one round of the game, I was like, man, this. Nobody is using that because it's crappy. It's crappy. Right.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of what Andy Lennox said when he gives feedback. He says, I want to think about what makes the game the most fun. What makes your game fun?
Yeah.
Do more of that. Do less of the stuff that does not make it fun.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you just described there.
Yeah.
This part was fun. That part right. wasn't. Hey, let's cut the part that's not fun.
The downside, though, is that if I remove that die, then it's basically you might as well play Roll for It or Vegas, in which case, well, I guess that's the end of that game.
So, right. So, I mean, you need to think about ways to make it different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe there's something else you can do with that. Make it more enticing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, if I think, so rule number one, if it distracts from the fun of the game,
mm-hmm.
Cut it.
Yeah.
Now, what if
if it doesn't add any fun to the
right,
game.
Right, right. What if you say, but Jason, it distracts or does not add to the fun, but mechanically is necessary to make the game work?
Mm-hmm.
BS. I don't believe
that. there's a way around that.
I feel like there's a way around it.
Yeah.
But it may not feel like there's a way around it to you as the designer,
mm-hmm.
which is totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you really need to lean on good playtesters to give you good feedback.
Yeah.
Some of the best solutions I had for issues with games, Gunslinging Rambles is a great example. I was having an issue where, this is great. This is a great example. In the game, you can give shots. You're required to give shots to your opponents when you beat them, right? The idea, the theme justification is I won, so I'm throwing some money out to buy everybody shots, right? Totally sure. Yeah. Buy that with a theme. AJ, right. Hook, line, and sinker agreed with that with a theme. But it wasn't fun because the idea was a catch-up mechanic, right? I'm giving you shots that at the end of the game are going to be worth money. But in the end, it felt like I was giving you shots so that at the end of the game, you'd catch up, right? And a catch-up mechanic shouldn't feel like a catch-up mechanic, right?
Yeah, right.
So Chris Kopech and Andy Lennox played it, and I honestly don't remember which one of them said this first, but you know, they both played it and they said, hey, why don't you have the ability to have people at the bar? I feel like you should have people at the bar. And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, what if your other Ramblers were sitting at the bar? And then one of us said, I honestly don't remember which one of us, and you could give them shots. So what happens then is I'm drafting people now from the bar. And I'm giving them shots. So if I'm losing and I need more points, I can take someone who's drank 4 shots, have them for a round. They get drunk. They pass out. I get a new guy. But I just made that those 5 shots to sure. pass him out. So boom. Now it's a fun catch-up mechanic.
Yeah.
And that led to us figuring out to have an effect that happens when somebody enters the bar. What happens mm-hmm. when I come in the bar? I do this. You do that. And mm-hmm. it shakes up the game a little bit.
Sure.
And that's awesome, right? So. Yeah. All because I said, no, it's impossible not to have this because it's a mechanic that needs to be a catch-up mechanic because we yeah. knew from early iterations of the game, you could have people getting way too far ahead.
Yeah.
And then I listened to playtesters and I was able to not cut, but change mm-hmm. just to make something better. Mm-hmm. So I think rule number 2, listen to your playtesters, mm-hmm. especially if they're smart. If they're smart like Andy Lennox and Chris Kopech, you should really listen to them.
Sure.
Because they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And there are lots of other playtesters we know who have really smart ideas. Mm-hmm. And count on playtesters to think differently than you do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why you and I work well playtesting. It's one of the
best reasons to playtest.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why you and I work so well playtesting together mm-hmm. is because we design games very different from each other mm-hmm. and we have very different opinions. And
yeah.
a lot of times something I would think of or you would think of is something the other one would never think of because yeah. it's completely outside of our viewpoint for how we design a game, mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So that's 2 things okay. I can think of. You got something else?
I'm thinking still about Innkeepers and back when Innkeepers was, I mean, gosh, going all the way back to when it was just the tower building game, you know, so long ago.
Cut your theme because it's boring.
Yeah, well, that was definitely something that was cut because it was awful. Components, like the original game, you know, it had 4 different types of cubes that you'd be building things in there. And that was really key to the strategy of the idea. And, you know, you got to, in order to build the structure, this card says you need a yellow, red, a blue, and a green or whatever, you know, and maybe this one is 2 reds and 2 yellows. Anyway, and that ended up being a lot to keep track of, a lot to fit into the economy of the game.
And a lot of components.
And a lot of components, right. And I was thinking about it, and, you know, and that was so core to the concept. And even when I moved into Innkeepers, and the big revelation with Innkeepers was, oh, don't just build up, you can build out.
Right.
Oh, wow, that's a great improvement. But I was still trying to get multiple resource types in there, and I decided one day I just said, wonder if I could just do this with 2 resource types. And it was like a light bulb turned on. Yep. And I realized, oh crap, I can just let go of all these different resource types. What the heck, I should just make it 1 resource type. It solves so many economic problems
right.
that detract from the fun of the game.
So you have gold, which allows you to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have supplies, which right. allow you to build stuff.
To build stuff, right.
And so here's another good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to your playtesters. Because your playtesters give you, yeah. I feel like there should be more kinds of cubes.
I would say 1/3 of the comments yeah. I get is, what if you had multiple resource types?
Right. Because it sounds cool.
It sounds like a great idea, but it's not. I've been there and done that, and right. it was just bad. It was not good.
And what's cool is most playtesters, you explain to them, you say, you know, hey, I tried that at the beginning. Here were the problems. And they're like, oh, yeah, makes total sense. You know,
yeah.
So, make sure that, you know, not all feedback is good feedback, right?
Sure.
I mean, there is mm-hmm. what's interesting is it's too bad so many players want that. Like, oh, come on, add some more stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, and you think if you get that game published, people may still say that.
Sure.
But they're wrong. Because we know playing it so much.
And I understand the impulse for that 100%.
When you said you took them out, I was like, really? I feel like you should have them. And I even knew that it was terrible from the last version of the game.
Yeah, right. So, Yeah, so thinking about components and thinking, you know, I guess again, simplicity, that it just allow yourself, if you just, God, I hate that idea. I hate that. It's the worst idea. Allow yourself to just consider a change.
Right.
Just allow yourself to think about it rationally for a few moments and see where it can take you. Because if you just give yourself permission to look at something a different way, even if you really don't like that idea,
right,
it can be super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing lost by spending 10 minutes looking at it, like saying, what would happen if I feel like I'm destroying my game by taking this mechanic out?
Right.
Let's talk through it. What would happen?
Yeah.
You don't actually have to do it. You just talk through it.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt to talk about it.
Think yourself.
About it.
So right. Be open-minded.
Right.
You know, be open-minded mm-hmm. about what to get rid of and just don't get too attached to anything. I mean, that's yep. why so many times people say, don't make fancy prototypes because you get attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crap. Because I don't yeah. get attached to it, and neither do you.
I think we've been doing it long enough that we're not precious about that.
Right. I can yeah. see why people are. You know, you get some artwork done, and you're like, oh, I really want to make this fit. But, like, mm-hmm. but you have to say, mm-hmm. is the game going to suck this way?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I've gone, gosh, I've made prototypes in the past where I've like, done full-on artwork for the stuff and, like, really excited about it. And when I just got to a point where I'm like, yeah, this is no good.
Right.
And, all right, well, I've still got that artwork. Maybe yep. I can use it for something else. What's the big deal?
You but know if what? Not, hey.
Yeah. I mean,
practice, right?
Rockers is a great example. Yeah. I mean, I paid for our work on that. Yeah. You know what? That game is deader than dead.
Frankenstein's Legacy.
Frankenstein's Legacy.
You
deader
than
dead. You
did a ton of work and you paid for some artwork for it.
You know what? Oh, well. You know, you live and learn. Yep. I have some cool artwork. That's fine.
And it wasn't wasted. I mean, it was part of the process.
Yeah, it's part of the process for me.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So, our lessons are, if it detracts from the main focus of the game, it's not worth it. Okay. Your next point was?
My next point was listen to your playtesters.
Listen to your playtesters.
Listen to people's opinions.
Right. And my third point was just give yourself permission to think about it a different way.
Yeah.
Right. And I think those are pretty good ways to approach cuts.
If you can't cut something by doing those three things, then maybe it is important enough that you shouldn't cut it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, here's the harsh reality, too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you can't figure out what to cut that's making your game not fun, it's just that your game's not fun.
It's very
And
possible.
Maybe you should just put it away for a while.
Yeah.
And that's not, there's nothing to be defeated about.
No.
I've done that so many times. So have you. So have every other game designer.
Yeah.
I mean, you design a game, you think like, oh, it's going to be awesome. And then like, you're like, oh, this is not good.
It's okay. Sometimes things don't work.
Right. And that's okay because you can go back and you can gank that later. The tower building game is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded awesome. And we played it and it was not awesome.
It was terrible.
And you were like, I'm never playing this again. And you put it aside. And then one day you said, Innkeepers. Hey.
Yeah.
And boom, a game was born out of an old idea.
Right.
No idea is wasted.
Right.
Remember that. No idea is ever
Absolutely.
Wasted.
Absolutely.
You can always repurpose it into something awesome.
That's right. Yep. So, 100% agree.
All right.
Good.
Now it's time for you to practice the pitch.
All right.
You're gonna pitch a sweet game.
I'm super excited to pitch a sweet, super cool game. We were talking at work today, and I was like, oh, holy crap, I don't have anything to pitch tonight. And I said to you, hey, why don't you just give me a couple of things, and then I'll pitch a game based on that. And you said to me, flying squirrels, route building, cards only.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've got two of those. I can't do cards only.
Well, we agreed this because I was making fun of you because I'm like, oh, you didn't even listen to my instructions. And this isn't a pitch challenge.
No.
You were just really wanted an idea.
Yeah. I just need something to jumpstart.
Sometimes
my brain.
It's easier for somebody else to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I'm always full of like random thoughts. So
yeah.
First thing that popped in my head when you said it was flying squirrels. I don't know why, but I was like, sure. Flying squirrels.
So the game is called Cyber Squirrels. Squirrels with a Z at the end.
Scrapyard cats, yo.
Yeah, right. Scrapyard cats, yo. Cyber Squirrels, okay? Cyber Squirrels, I wrote up a lot because when the workday ended, my wife had, you know, we're down still in one car. So Christine had to go get her hair done. So I was just stuck at work with nothing to do for an hour and a half until she came and picked me up.
Had to get her hair did,
yeah,
as they say.
She didn't got her hair did. So I had an hour and a half to sit there and brainstorm this. So Cyber Squirrels, all right? That's how the game works. I'm just going to kind of read some of my notes and we'll talk it through. Good? Cyber Squirrels is a game about cyber squirrels. In the cyber forest, collecting cyber acorns, building a network of cyber connections through the trees of the cyber forest in an attempt to stockpile as many cyber acorns as possible before the cyber winter comes. It's very cyber, this game.
Very cyber. Yeah.
I think I'll probably not say cyber so much, though.
I would. I would totally. You if think you I get should? This game published, it should right. be cyber, cyber, cyber.
All right. So it's a route building game, all right? The Cyber Forest is a game board with an equilateral triangular grid of nodes, all right? So it's just a bunch of triangles, okay? So, you know, six equilateral triangles put together equals a hexagon, right? Okay. So the board itself is a hexagonal grid, but it's cut up into triangles. It's not hexes. Make sense? All right. At the point where each of those triangles comes together is, I'm going to call those nodes. Okay, that's a node.
Cyber nodes.
It's a cyber node, right? At some of these nodes are cyber oaks. Oak trees, you know?
Yeah.
And they produce cyber acorns. In order to collect a cyber acorn, you must control that cyber oak. You need to control that oak node. Cyber Oak, Cyber Node. You control a Cyber Oak if you have at least two route connections to that oak, and you have the only route connection to that oak. So if I have two connections to that node, to that oak, and no one else has any connections to that, then I control that. Or if multiple players have connections to that oak, and you have at least two connections, and your Cyber Squirrel Pawn is placed on that cyber oak, then you're basically controlling that. You know, you have the double connection to it, so do other people, but if your squirrel is there, that means you've got full control, you are in charge. Right. Okay.
Cyber, cyber.
Cyber, cyber. All right. Around the game board is the cyber acorn track. Every turn, players earn one cyber acorn for each oak they control on the board, or a minimum of one. Okay, so you're always going to earn at least one acorn per turn. And for every cyber oak that you control on the board, you get one acorn per turn for that, okay? The player with the most acorns when winter comes at the end of the game is the winner. But cyber acorns are also spent to perform actions within the game, all right? So you want to get as many acorns as you can because that's how you're going to win the game.
But that's also the economy.
That's also the economy. That's also what you do in order to take actions during the game. So your actions are, these are things you can spend acorns on. You can spend acorns to draw a card. One acorn per card. You can use an ability on a card, so you can play a card, and in order to play a card, you're going to have to pay X number of acorns to use that action. Obviously, the more powerful the action, the more acorns it's going to cost. You can move your cyber squirrel. You can spend, and see, your cyber squirrels also have cyber jetpacks, so that's the flying squirrel.
Why would they not?
Now, you can move your cyber squirrel one acorn per node of movement. So if I'm going to move from node 1 to node 2, that's going to cost me one acorn. If I'm going to go from 2 to 3, that's going to cost me another acorn. All right? But movement along your own pre-established, pre-controlled routes is free with a minimum of one acorn. So if I have six routes in a row, I can go that entire distance on one acorn.
Nice.
But then as soon as I move one node past that, that's going to cost me one more acorn.
Right.
All
right.
Last thing you can do with acorns, you can build a route connection between two nodes. Two acorns is going to cost you, you spend two acorns to build one route, okay? So, and you're tracking those with colored sticks, you know, like
Catan roads.
Yeah, they'd be a little longer than that, but yeah.
It'd probably neon.
And yeah, four different colors for different players.
Cyber colors.
Hopefully neon, yeah. Maybe see-through plastic, because that's very cyber.
Also cyber.
Yeah, and when you're connecting that, it must be connected to a pre-existing route that you have, or it must be connected to a node that your squirrel is on. Okay? You can spend as many cyber acorns on your turn as you want and perform as many actions as you want. But of course, if you spend all your acorns, you're not going to have any acorns left for scoring. Okay, so you got to make that balance out there. All right. So let's talk about the cards. Obviously, I don't have a bunch of cards written, but some goals that I would have with the cards. The more acorns it costs, the more powerful it's going to be. And the goal is always, if you're going to play a card, you're going to be losing points to play a card. So that those cards need to either allow you to get more points later in the game or affect other players and prevent them from getting points.
Right.
Yeah, pretty basic idea. So you can some cards will allow you to add routes for less cost, mm-hmm. you know. You can remove other players' routes. Some of them might allow you to grow a new cyber oak, place a token down.
That'd be a big one, yeah.
You know, or chop down or poison an existing oak. Okay. You know, so again, put down like a poison or a dead token. Yeah, a virus, a cyber virus for your cyber oak. Move other players' cyber squirrels. Make other players lose connections on the board, route connections. Okay, remove their sticks. You can fortify a cyber oak so that your squirrel can leave, but you can still keep the benefit of that. Which, you know, so when the cyber squirrel is there, that node's protected. Nobody can screw with it. Nobody can get any points for it.
Right.
But maybe if you can put this token down, you can move your cyber squirrel away, you still get the control over that.
Right. Through a mental cyber link.
Right. Cards will also give you bonuses for cyber squirrel combat. These bonuses would be in the form of cyber enhancements that you add on to your cyber squirrel, because you need to be able to upgrade your cyber squirrel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Those enhancements could be temporary. They could be permanent. You know, it kind of depends on the card. Depends on how much you want to spend on them, maybe.
Right.
You know?
Maybe it's like spend one to use it once, or spend five to keep it forever.
Forever. Yeah. That's a choice. You got to make that choice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, lastly, every card is going to have some kind of an attack and defense value on it to aid you in combat. All right. Okay. Now, let's talk about, my phone will catch up with me here, the cyber squirrels themselves. The cyber squirrels have jetpacks. They're flying cyber squirrels.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That means they can move anywhere on the board, but like I said, it costs them energy in the form of cyber acorns to do that movement. I already talked about how that movement works and what it costs. All right. There's going to be a way for cyber squirrels to get into combat. What I'm thinking right now is just keep it easy. All right. You know, each player rolls a die, a D6. Okay. And then you add that number. Add to that number, one player adds their defense values, another player adds their attack values on
and any modifiers.
Any enhancements, any modifiers, right? And then you can play additional cards from your hand if you want in order to augment that total. And then whoever has the higher value is the winner, either attack or defend. A successful attack sends the opponent's cyber squirrel back to the nearest cyber oak they control. A failed attack means the attacker cannot take control of the cyber oak. Okay, so it's not a big penalty. I want to encourage players to attack, right?
Of course, yeah.
So it's not a big penalty for failing in that attack.
Lots of action. Yeah,
you're gonna be throwing some cards down, but cards are cheap to buy, so that's the idea with that. Routes. We talked about routes again. You're laying these colored sticks down between the nodes. Mm-hmm. There can only be one route per connect or one connection per route, or you know, between two nodes, there can only be one stick there.
Right.
All right. But a player can place his own route stick and remove another's as long as a node is not connected to that route. And a node connected to that route is not protected by cyber squirrel. So if I've got a route there and you want to come in and you want to move your squirrel in there and build onto that, you can just remove mine and put yours there in place of it. Unless I have my cyber squirrel at a
protecting it.
Right.
And how many squirrels do you have?
Each player only has one squirrel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Only so one that's squirrel. Tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All right. But that's also how you can, if you place that fortified oak token somewhere,
right.
You can double that. Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea with that is that routes can change and be broken as the game changes. You know, I want a lot of action, a lot of variation out there on the board.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right? Okay. No idea how many nodes there would be in the game right now. I mean, that would all depend on the board layout and scale and stuff, but I think there would be kind of a 3-to-1 ratio with a basic node versus a cyber oak, kind of 3-to-1 random distribution. I don't know. It would actually probably have to be a fairly even distribution so that starting spaces are equal for everybody.
That makes sense.
Okay. The end game scenario, like I said, it's when the cyber winter comes, right? So it's one of those things where you shuffle the deck and then you deal out, I don't know, is it 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 cards, and then you shuffle in the winter card and put that in the bottom of the deck.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, like we talked about in the last episode.
Exactly right. So when the cyber winter comes up, that triggers the end game. Everyone else gets one more turn. Game end. Whoever has the most acorns at the end is the winner.
That sounds pretty thought out, dude.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need a lot of cards.
A lot of cards to work on, right? But that's the basic idea. Now, combat, of course, would be you can attack somebody if you are... you can't have two squirrels on the same node, right? So if I want to attack you, I need to be on a node that is either connected to the node you're on with one of my routes, or I'm going to need to spend one acorn to attack you over there, unless maybe I have an enhancement of some kind that allows me to override that.
Cyber lasso,
cyber guns, cyber lasers, cyber jetpack booster, something. I don't, whatever. Yeah. I
want you to have a card in there. You promise me. Swear to me. That you'll have a card in there called Cyber Cyber.
Cyber Cyber.
With no other definition. It's just Cyber Cyber.
Cyber Cyber. Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not?
Just because, like, I just, like, picture, like, everything is cyber something, and this is just Cyber Cyber.
Cyber Cyber. It's the cybernetic cyber. Cybernetics. Cyber is the joke. So yeah, cyber squirrels. Yeah. That's
could,
the idea.
That could be fun. That could be a fun game.
I think it could be just really dumb. Really dumb, and that's the point. But I had a lot of fun putting that together.
I bet. It's just a lot of fun listening to that pitch.
any other thoughts or comments on that?
No, I mean, you know? I'd have to try it, but like, I can think of some fun ideas for cards, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
If you
yeah.
decide to prototype it, let me know. I would love to help you think of
yeah, and that, cards. That's, I think, where I would need the most help with that. What about other combat scenarios? I mean, do you think that's fair? Just roll a die? And
I think rolling a die is pretty simple. I mean, yeah.
I feel a little bad that there's dice in the game for just that one purpose, and there's no other reason for the dice.
Right.
That's the only hesitation I have with that, is that I feel like if I'm going to put dice in there, the dice should be useful for something. But then again, Risk is that way. I mean, Risk dice is only for combat.
You mentioned the protection token.
Yeah.
What if your die is your protection token? And when you want to attack someone, you have to pick it up and roll it.
Like that fortify the oak?
Yeah.
Cyber fortify
so
the cyber
oak? So
each
person starts with that.
Oh.
So they can leave it on one. And when you attack with it, if you lose, not only does your squirrel get kicked back,
mm-hmm.
but they can throw your cyber die anywhere they want to on the board.
And so the defender could just choose to defend with their base defense value.
Right.
And if that's not enough, they could pick up their die and roll it.
Yep.
Maybe.
And to use your cyber die, you have to be on a route that's connected to it, right? Or spend acorns to reach it.
Hmm.
So if I'm on a route in my little neon green clear plastic things
right.
line up with me, that I can use it because I'm connected. But if not, I can't use that bonus without paying acorns to use it.
Hmm.
Then you boom, multi-use.
That's not bad. Yeah.
And you have to use those neon dice we got.
Yeah. Well, most of them are on the Iron Bruno. I don't have many of them
I've
left.
I've got some extras.
Yeah, okay.
Hook you up. You only need two, so.
Yeah, right. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I'm thinking of it as a four-player game, but I guess it could be up to six, I guess.
I could let you have four. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, there's only three colors in that set.
Oh, well, sorry about your luck, dude.
Yeah, but at any rate.
But yeah, I think that would be a great way to do that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Because then you get multi-use out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you have to think about whether or not you want to move your die.
Mm-hmm.
You could also have some sort of mechanic where the side of the die determined the defensiveness of that die.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not even rolling.
Mm.
Maybe it's just whatever that defense on that die is you can use, but when you use it, you have to crank it back down to zero. And cards could let you enhance it.
That's feeling too complicated.
Okay. I was
even thinking about using D4s, not D6s.
Yeah, they look very cyber.
Right, and it's less variance in that what that role.
But I think that would be good is just to have them sitting they're your protection token. Everybody gets one. It allows you to always be controlling two trees. But if you get hosed, somebody can put it on somewhere else to hose you, or to hose somebody else. Put it on somebody else's tree,
and then you're not dependent on the luck of the draw with those cards. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I think that's probably a good idea.
I like it.
Yeah. So yeah, cyber squirrels. One of the goofiest ideas I've had in a long time, I think.
It's true.
Yeah. But I'm been on a goofy kick lately. Man, I'm having so much fun with Card Game Simulator. It's just fun. It's fun to just throw caution to the wind and not have to, like we got some time here. Do you mind if I talk about that briefly?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I honestly, I haven't listened back to that pitch since I pitched it, and I kind of just totally ditched that entire idea and said, this is a stupid idea. Let me just come up with a stupid, chaotic game to go around it. And so I'm just thinking about the most ridiculous, stupid, unbalanced, junky game ever, and not to say that these games are unbalanced, but in the vein of Gubs, that's just total chaos all the time, Munchkin is total chaos all the time.
Right. Well, Munchkin is unbalanced, but it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, but complete chaos all the time, what I'm striving for is to get, I want it to be a 54 card deck, and I want to be every card to be unique, 54 unique cards. That's what I really want to do. If I can come up with ideas. So every card is the title of a card is like a game mechanic or a game feature,
right,
or a game component or something that people say about a game, I've got Take That in there. I've got co-op and I've got competitive, but I've also got stuff like
This Card Is Broken.
This Card Is Broken, and Screw That Guy. Or, it's all kinds of bizarre stuff in there. And I'm, I'm trying to come up with 54 unique titles and 54 unique powers, and just to see how it all crazy works together and how goofy it could end up being. Because I think that's the kind of game where it doesn't really matter if everything's balanced to everything else, because it's just meant to be stupid.
Right. Like Munchkin.
Like Munchkin, yeah. So I think that's something, once I get that all nailed down, I will almost certainly put that up on GameCrafter, because why the heck not, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect for
why
that.
The heck not? It'd just
it's
be...
It's 54 cards. It'd be super cheap.
Super cheap.
You might actually be able to mark it up and make like a dollar off it.
Whoa, imagine that. Whoa. I might actually make a little money off of something I sell on GameCrafter.
Store credit.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. I guess since I'm talking about GameCrafter too, I should say, I still don't have Finish It up on there, and I'm sorry about that, guys. Finish it, the outrageous storytelling party.
Finish it yet?
I just need to finish doing the box, and then I need to get it up there.
You're the worst at boxes.
It's just,
at least you're taking your time doing the box. Normally they're just like, I just threw this box together.
A tree fell on my car and smashed it, and we've had some expenses. And
fell
some
on
time.
Your wife's car.
Well, on my wife's car. It's our car, but yeah, and smashed her car. And so we've been busy, man. Sorry.
She still had time to get her hair done.
I'm not going to cut that out because she'll never hear this. She'll never listen to it.
I know.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Uh-huh. All right.
That's probably enough of that.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
We've got some voicemails, but my phone's dying. We're going to save those for next time.
Okay.
So sorry if you left a voicemail. Don't worry. Next time we'll have a big voicemail episode where we play lots of voicemails.
It's just going to be all voicemail.
Voicemails all the time.
Yeah. So keep sending them.
If you haven't, send us a new voicemail. If you don't have one in the queue, get us a new one.
Yep.
And we'll add that to it. So,
yep. So
yeah.
Cool. Is that it?
That's it.
Do we have any announcements or anything coming up? No, we don't have any events happening, do we?
No.
We don't have any contests going on.
Keep it low right now.
So. Yeah, it's been a busy summer. I think it's time to relax. We don't even have any guests coming up or anything, do we?
I think we've got a couple we might have coming up. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
We're not going to talk about them now.
A few in the pipe, though.
Yeah. We've got a couple in the pipe, people who we've talked about having as guest hosts. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to be the end of that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, and we encourage that, send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_designed. You can also call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. That's 770-TEL-BTG. If you don't want to mess with that, just record a little thing on your home computer and email it to us. That'll work too. We'd love to play that. If you could also like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would also be just gosh darn swell, guys. Holy cow, that'd be great. Look forward to our Grand Con recap episode next week after we have been through Grand Con and had a good time. And I think that's all the news that there is. So thanks again for listening.
Good night.
Nighty night. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game. Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I should pee before we go, huh?
Sure.
Whatever, I'll be fine.